are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner, Saturday, November 13th, 2021. Follow on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP, and subscribe to the podcast so you get this once it goes live. We will have a shortened episode today, but a long interview with Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBS Sports and host of the Pick Six podcast. Baker against Belichick this weekend. Will is heated and fired up about first touchdown markets. Also, the ACC is wide open. Who would you bet right now to win the conference? All that coming up in just a little bit here on Chicken Dinner. I was very upset last night because we had Bryant in the over. Bet the over 150 on the open. It got all the way up to 156 at one point. I think it settled about 154.5, 155. The game landed 147. So it goes under. Did you watch the game? Did you see the box score? Bryant shot 26% from the floor, 18 of 69. They missed 27 three-pointers. 27, 12 of 39. They make one of those threes, you push 150. They make two of those threes, you're over. They missed wide-open looks. I don't know that they're going to have that poor of a shooting night the rest of the season. 26%. But the pace they play with is why you bet the over on that game. This is that example of results and process. What's more important? Obviously, you lose a unit, 1.1 units. That's no fun. But if I were to tell you that Bryant was going to take 39 three-pointers in the game, what would you have thought the final score was going to be? They try and get 90 possessions a game. That's their MO. Run, run, run. Gun, gun, gun. Open shots. The ball movement was great. They just couldn't knock down an open shot. Rhode Island played pretty solid defensively. You give them credit. But, man, I'm watching that second half, and there were a couple droughts where, you know, Rhode Island would just be on an island because of all the ball movement. Bryant just couldn't knock down a shot. So that's a team, again, if you remember back to last college basketball season, we started betting Bryant overs 150, 151, 155. And at one point, their totals were in the high 160s, low 170s. The market always catches up, but that number was still too low last night. Even though it goes under, I was very happy with the opportunity because they had every chance to go over that game. And that's a team early in the NEC conference. They will play a lot of games like that, up and down, up and down. But not very happy with the way college basketball started. 0-1 with a loss on over 150. They land 147 and miss 27 threes. Okay. Picks for this weekend. Only have one college angle, and already I'm getting nervous because there are reports that Brennan Armstrong is not as healthy as UVA is letting on. I've got Virginia plus 5.5 and plus 190. If he doesn't play, they're going to go to the true freshman, which is going to really piss me off. But I am going to hold out hope that Armstrong plays. There's some rumor that they're going to save him for next week. But, I mean, how do you miss – if you can go this week, how do you miss Notre Dame at night in Charlottesville? The total told you a couple days ago he was going to play. The number tells you still he's going to play. I don't even care if he's 85%, 80%. If he's out there, they are a threat to cover. They are a threat to win the game. So I am going to hold out hope that Armstrong can play and that Virginia is going to have a chance to hang around in this game. I'm on the Panthers because of their defense and the number. 10.5, PJ Walker, don't turn the ball over. Just protect that precious football. Let's utilize Christian McCaffrey. Just do enough to hang inside the number. Total of 44, I'll take 10.5. Arizona still banged up. Is Kyler Murray going to play? Is DeAndre Hopkins going to play? We don't know. But this is a game where Arizona just survive in advance. And Carolina's defense, top five in a lot of categories. So just make it ugly, muck it up, 17-14, 20-17, 20-14, whatever. Hang inside 10.5. It's an ugly side. You're not going to love it, but I had to do it at plus 10.5. Chiefs minus 2.5. Have to do it. Ultimate buy low spot on Kansas City, and I also played a little AFC championship plus 650. They got to win it in the AFC. You look at the standings. Kansas City is so close to just breaking through, first of all. If they can figure out their offense, the defense has gotten better. They've changed a couple things schematically over the last couple of weeks. Their offense is eventually going to start clicking, and they'll find some fortunate bounces. Mahomes has 10 picks already. How many of those were straight to a defender, though? Like five? How many of them were tipped? How many were knocked onto the line of scrimmage and batted into a defender's hands? It's been a weird beginning of the season. Yet despite all that, you look at the standings in the AFC, the Titans are in first at 7-2. The Chiefs are 5-4. They're two games back of the number one overall seed in the conference. Baltimore just lost to Miami. The Bills lost to the Jags. There are no invincible teams in the AFC. Not for one fucking second. If Tennessee loses to the Saints, which I think they will, Titans will be 7-3. Chiefs beat the Raiders, like I think they will, Chiefs are 6-4. So then, you're potentially, if everything goes to plan, you're one game out of the number one overall seed. Also, Kansas City before the season to win the AFC, plus 275, plus 285, 3-1. Now they're plus 650. They've underachieved, for sure. But you're looking at a Titans team that has overachieved and doesn't have Derrick Henry the rest of the way. A Ravens team that has not been good in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson. The Chargers, the Bills who can't run the football. I know Kansas City has some issues, but to get them at plus 650 now, I think that's a decent bet. Given where the number was and now where it is. Chiefs also against the Raiders. Anything under three, you got to lay it. It's square, don't care. This number should be 4, 4.5. I don't care that the Raiders played them well last year twice and won one of those games. Kansas City, Sunday night, Mahomes. This team is eventually going to get on a roll. Would you be surprised if they won 6 in a row or 7 of 8? I wouldn't. Not at all. This is a game Kansas City should win easily. If they don't, I'm in the gutter then on that one. And the Saints, plus the 3. Took 3. I think the market now mostly 2.5 on a Saturday morning. This morning when I got up, it was a lot of 2.5. Yeah, a couple 3s here and there. 2.5, though, and I love that. 2.5 minus 120. 2.5 minus 120. 2.5 minus 115. I talked to a couple bookmakers in Vegas that told me the ticket counts on the Titans side, 8-1, 9-1. Yet these books are just hanging out. Minus 2.5, minus 3. They're just begging you to take Tennessee. Top team in the conference, at home, only got to lay 2.5. It looks so easy, doesn't it? I wish Alvin Kamara was going to play for New Orleans, but again, this is a situation where you have a tough spot. Titans just won on national television Sunday night. Now they go back home. That first game without Derrick Henry was interesting. Can they really move the ball at the line of scrimmage, though, against the Saints defense without Derrick Henry? That's the question. I know they've got some receivers. Got A.J. Brown, got Julio Jones. Tannehill's been playing pretty good. But I think the loss of Henry hits them this week, if that makes any sense. And I'm happy to take a team plus 3, where I think the true line in the game should be Tennessee minus 1. Give me the field goal. Saints hang around. Love the Saints as a dog. Last 9 games as a dog, Sean Payton 8-0-1 against the number. That tells you something. Guy makes you money. So that's it this weekend. Virginia 5.5, taking the points, plus 190. Hopefully Armstrong can play. Panthers plus 10.5. Chiefs minus 2.5. Saints plus 3. And the last thing before we get to Will Brinson. Tree Bark Falafel, 6-3 this season. The Maniac makes you money. Let's hear who he's got in week number 10.
How are you enjoying all the free money? That's right. We won again last week. We're now 6-3 on the season. And this week, we're going to get our 7th win. Look for the Chiefs to explode against the garbage Raiders. Take the Kansas City Chiefs, minus 2.5 against the Raiders. Enjoy the free money, bitches. Thank you.
Joining us again on Chicken Dinner, I love chopping it up with Will Brinson, CBS Sports, senior NFL writer. Before we get to the ACC and your lock of the decade to win the conference, I have to ask you about Cam Newton going to Carolina. What are they doing?
By the way, Sam, before we get to that, I want to show you this. And we're not on video, right, obviously, but this is a picture. Look at this. A young Nick Costas. Right before giving me the double bird, right before we're about to record this podcast in Las Vegas. Remember the one we did with me, Prisco, and Nick? It was this podcast, right?
I will never forget that episode. I was actually not going to bring it up because I always bring it up. That was actually 4 years ago in August. 4 years ago.
Was it only 4 years ago? Feels like 10 years ago.
Well.
Anything before 2020 feels like 100 years ago. Like Cam Newton last played for the Panthers 100 years ago.
The worst part about that episode was that we couldn't air half of the episode.
Right, because we were buzzed and saying so many. And like we listened back, we were like, wait a minute. You know what? Maybe don't run that. The part where I don't remember. Who knows what we said? At any rate, yes, Cam Newton back. As you tweeted out, it doesn't really affect the odds or the line at all. I personally am, you know, and I'm a cynic by nature, but I definitely think that this is, the Panthers gave him $4.5 million. That's a like guaranteed. That is a lot of money for Cam Newton in 2021. I tend to think that what Carolina is trying to do is, I mean, yes, win football games and go to the playoffs and improve the quarterback situation, but maybe more importantly, pull a distraction act and, like, you know, you're over here doing a little dance so people don't remember that you traded a second round pick for Sam Darnold back in last offseason. I mean, David Tepper, since he took over this franchise, has cut Cam Newton, signed Teddy Bridgewater to a kind of a ridiculous deal at the time, and traded a second round pick for Sam Darnold. Like, and now brought Cam Newton back. I mean, that's just, as I said earlier, this is my favorite Southern saying, but it's going around your ass to get to your ankle. Like, what are we doing here? I mean, just giving just a complete lack of understanding about how to evaluate quarterbacks and acquire quarterbacks. And I understand that Panthers fans are excited because Cam's back. Oh, Superman's back. He's going to play against Ron Rivera in, you know, Washington in first game in 2 weeks. But I mean, we did an emergency podcast, and I mean, I'll get amped up and talk about them, you know, maybe going to the playoffs. But the reality is that this shouldn't cover up the poor management job of the quarterback position that's happened heretofore in Carolina.
There were props last year. I remember when I moved to Boston and took the job at Nesson, it was end of November, early December. Will, there were props in the market on Cam Newton touchdown passes. The numbers were 0.5.
I mean, 0.5, right.
I don't want to spend the whole show on the Carolina Panthers, unfortunately, but you brought up the P word. So I'll ask you, is it worth a little bit of a sprinkle? Carolina's 12 or 13 to 1 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I would sprinkle on that. Just because the bottom tier of the NFC is so bad. I mean, it's one of Atlanta, Carolina, Minnesota, Seattle, San Fran, and I guess Philadelphia has to make the playoffs. And maybe two of them if New Orleans craters at all without Jameis Winston, which, again, seems insane to say.
More impressed so far, Will, by Mac Jones or Justin Fields?
Mac Jones.
That was really easy.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Fields has had like a good quarter against the Steelers and ran the football once or twice the week before. Other than that, I don't think he's been that great. But he has much worse circumstances to deal with. In a coach who doesn't want to design anything to help him, and Matt Nagy, a miserable offensive line, the apparent abduction of Allen Robinson at some point during the season by aliens who replaced him with I don't know who he's replacing with, but Allen Robinson doesn't appear to exist. Bad skill position guys and just a bad franchise in general. So tougher, bigger uphill battle for Justin Fields. More impressed with Mac Jones.
This line this week going into the New England game against Cleveland, it's been wild to watch. So Superbook opened it up this past Sunday. New England -3. On Wednesday, we saw it get all the way down in New England -1. So the early sharp money came in on the Cleveland Browns, and it makes sense. But Now we're looking at buyback almost all the way home. We're at New England -2.5 at most Vegas books. total of 45. You had the wise guys come in early, grab the numbers. Now they're laying the numbers. How do you break down this one? Browns at the Pats.
I mean, D'Ernest Johnson's the only healthy running back for Cleveland. Like, they're going to have one running back, and it's D'Ernest Johnson. And I know he was awesome in that Thursday night game, but without, you know, Kareem Hunt's injured. Nick Chubb is on COVID. Felton? Yeah.
Yep.
Dominic Felton is on COVID as well. And then I think they have one more guy who's in the COVID protocols. I mean, that's a problem. That's their identity. They run the football. That is, you know, that is what they do as a team. And I think that, you know, there was so much enthusiasm off of that Bengals victory that is probably a little bit of an oversell, I think, for Cleveland. I mean, that was sort of their FU OBJ game. Right? Like, oh, you think we need Odell Beckham? I mean, they got up for that game, that Bengals game. That was a big emotional game for them. And now they have to come back, go to New England. They're going to have to lean on Baker to a degree if they can't run the football successfully. And that, to me, is a problem because Baker, who I like, is not someone you want to have to throw 30 times against Bill Belichick on the road. So I like the Pats a lot, especially, I mean, I like the back, obviously, when it's below three.
And Bills found a really good player again in the draft with Barmore. He's been outstanding.
Yeah. If people who vote on awards actually watch games instead of just like looked at stat sheets, Barmore could win the Defensive Rookie of the Year.
And he's getting more and more reps, more and more usage. Matt Judon is literally a maniac running wild. I don't want to overreact because I hate doing that. I think you do as well. But every time I turn on the radio here at town and listen to the Sports Hub or listen to EEI, I keep hearing, feels like 0-1.
It does. It feels like 0-1.
They don't have Tom Brady, but there are a lot of similarities where that defense is awesome.
The defense is good. It's full of people that like you don't know. It's not full of like
Hall of Famers,
household names and Hall of Famers. It's full of guys that Bill has cobbled together. They lean on the run game. They have this like variety of running backs they like to use. And they have a young quarterback who just has this, you know, this business-like attitude, refused to get too high or too low, makes clutch plays, converts third downs. I mean, I think it feels like 2001 by design. I think Bill Belichick built this team to like as a throwback team. You know, this wasn't supposed to be 07. I mean, not that you can just throw 07 together, but like he had to rebuild everything. So he went out and got two tight ends in free agency. He went out and got an elite pass rusher in Matt Judon. Draft Barmore, draft Mac Jones. You know, he's like, F it, we're going to be Alabama, like old school Alabama, right? I mean, like, we're just going to get Nick. I'm going to get Saban's guys. Hey, Nick, talk these guys down to every other team because I'm getting them. I think it's 2000. It's similar to 2001 by design.
I hate laying points in prime time with the public road favorite, but God damn it. How do I not lay 2.5 with the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday? How do I not do that?
I know. I thought you were going to say I mean, obviously we're recording on Thursday afternoon. I was like, oh yeah, I got to take the Ravens too. I want to bet on Patrick Mahomes to win the MVP. Like, I don't think that's crazy at all. He's like 80-1 in some spots.
Wow.
And I don't know how you don't lay the 2.5 with the Chiefs. I mean, they're not a good football team right now, but the Raiders are, I don't think the Raiders have the necessary answers to take care of them. I mean, that being said, you know, division game, you're getting points at her. I mean, the problem is in a normal Chiefs Raiders game, you'd be getting like 5.5, right? Or like 6.5 if the Chiefs were playing good football. And at some point, they're going to flick the switch. They're only two games out of the first seed in the AFC, which is crazy. They played like ass all season long. Patrick Mahomes looks shook. I saw my good buddy Greg Rosenthal just released his QB index for this week, and he has Matt Ryan above Patrick Mahomes, and nobody should argue with that. The way that they're playing right now, Matt Ryan is playing better than Patrick Mahomes. But at some point, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and all that talent on offense, it's going to click and they're going to get hot. Like, I just refuse to believe that the Chiefs will be like this all season, even though people are – I mean, you know, they're the 8th seed right now in the AFC. You know, you win this game and you are – what? You're 6-4 and the Raiders would be 5-4. So you would move up into the 5 seed, I guess, right?
There's a lot of math for me. I love math, but not that much math. Schedule math always fucks me up.
Yeah, me too. But you get the point. Like, this is a massive game for the Chiefs. You win this game, and all of a sudden your season is back on track. You've played the worst football ever, like ever in the history of Mahomes and Andy Reid, you can get this thing back on track and you can kick off sort of a winning streak, I think.
It's a weird situation because I think in the NBA, we give teams a pass. When the Lakers come out of the shoot and struggle, when the Warriors were winning championships and they had a rough October, November, December. Yeah, long season. To your point, they are right there. They still haven't figured it out yet, but if they do, they're going to go on a run, and you're looking at a Mahomes market where you're right. He's as high as 80-1 at FanDuel to win the MVP. Please shop around. I have some books right now that have 40, some have 50, some have 60, some have 65. There's a 70, and there's an 80-1 on Mahomes. You got to shop around if you're going to bet stuff like this. Well, and a lot of people, unfortunately, they only have one out. Well, I only have points bet. Okay, well, that 100 makes you 5,000 at points bet, 8,000 at FanDuel.
That's $3,000. It's a lot of money. And look, like, I'm in North Carolina. We don't have legal gambling here. So I just have to sort of take what I can get, or, you know, find somebody who, you know, has an account at FanDuel or whatever. But absolutely, you shop around. I mean, if you have the ability to bet on multiple books, then you should have money in multiple books to get the best number on a future like this. 50-1 and 80-1, you know, they're like, oh yeah, 50-1's pretty good, right? It's not going to happen anyway. It might happen. He's got 9 games. If he goes nuclear for 9 games, he can win the MVP because Tom Brady's probably the front runner right now, right? Yeah. I mean, maybe Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, the top three. Kyler's banged up. You know, Tom's playing really well, but coming off a bye, it's just sort of, I think, the market a little suppressed on that. And Josh Allen just lost 6 points against the effing Jaguars. Like, Patrick Mahomes can rip off 9 wins, get the number one seed in the AFC, and win MVP. That is not out of the question at all.
I know you're heated. What happened in the first touchdown market?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm all worked up. No, I love betting first touchdowns.
Yeah.
That and first round leader are like the two best sweat. It's first round leader in golf, obviously, are the two best sweats in sports. And I think that the sports books are kind of being D-bags about this. Like, I'm supposed to lay, I'm getting Devontae Freeman at 9-1. I saw him at like +5. He's like 5-1 somewhere else. Sammy Watkins is 16-1 to score the first touchdown in Ravens Dolphins. What the hell? Sammy Watkins should be 30-1. All these bottom of the barrel dudes have been, basically they've shrunk the market. Because it used to be, like, even last year, Devontae Adams, who was catching every first touchdown for the Packers, was at worst like 8-1, maybe 6-1. And after 5 or 6 games in a row where everybody was hammering Devontae Adams, they moved him down to like 5-1. That's fine. Devontae Adams, his usage in the red zone, his targets, the way he's everything, 5-1 is fine. But it's absolute bullshit that Lamar Jackson, Marquise Brown, Devontae Freeman, Mark Andrews, Latavius Murray, Myles Gaskin, Mike Gesicki, Le'Veon Bell, Jalen Waddle are all under 15-1. That is not the math that doesn't work out that way. Like, you're talking about one touchdown, the first touchdown scored, and you have 7 guys under 15-1. That is garbage. There's no way that should be the case. If you're talking about a 7.5 point road favorite in the Baltimore Ravens in a primetime game down in South Florida against a Dolphins team that is not very good at starting a backup quarterback, none of those Dolphins players should be lower than 20-1 to score the first touchdown, because it is highly unlikely based on what they are telling us on the point spread. And yet, Myles Gaskin, who carried the ball 20 times for 34 yards last week, is 11-1 to score the first touchdown. It makes me so mad.
I'll tell you a funny story. Last year I was living in Chicago and we got the Cole Kmet kid from Notre Dame. And yeah, we thought, you know what? We're going to bet him at 100-1 until he scores the first touchdown. They were dealing 100-1. He had no catches in week 1. He had 1 catch in week 2. No catches in 3, no catches in 4, no catches in 5. But in week 6, they hung 100-1 on Cole Kmet. And it doesn't matter what we had on it. We had it. And I'll tell you what, the next week, they cut it down to like 25-1.
20-1. Yeah, exactly. It's garbage.
He caught, let me see how many balls he caught last year. Well, he got hot later in the season because Jimmy Graham, you know, fell apart.
Yeah.
In the first 9 weeks of the season, he had 1, 3, 5, 6 catches, but he was 25-1.
25-1. It's just, but like, he went from 100-1 to 25-1 with, like, he had no usage whatsoever early in the season. Salvin Ahmed is 22-1. He's the backup running back for the Dolphins.
Should be 70-1.
Yes, bare minimum 70-1. Right. Like Patrick Ricard is 80-1.
I don't even know who that is.
He should be 300-1. He's the fullback for the Ravens. Like it's garbage. It makes me so mad.
Well, the way the futures and the way that all that has changed, I remember sitting in the back when we did that Vegas trip that you were at. Ostrowski and I went to the South Point, and we asked Chris, we're like, hey, why don't you ever give big numbers anymore in the future market? Even teams like who's a bad hockey team? The Arizona Coyotes are 150-1.
Right. The Bengals before the season were like 80-1 to win the Super Bowl. Like what? Like that's not even rationally, like that doesn't connect.
Well, do you know who changed everything? The team that changed everything was the Greatest Show on Turf when Trent Green got hurt. Those guys moved him up or moved up the Rams to about 300-1 a couple weeks into the season. And they took a couple pops, maybe a nickel, maybe a dime. And that team goes to the Super Bowl and wins the Super Bowl. And it wasn't a huge payout. They didn't lose a lot on it, but they lost more than they wanted to lose. And that changes everything going forward. The books learn from losses. And I think most people, to your point, they don't realize just how much shaving and shading goes on.
Yeah. And so, I mean, like that's, but it's like, that's exactly what they've done with these first, because your that's a great line. The books learn from losses. When books are getting popped for, and even like my local here in North Carolina, I'm limited to, like I want to, let's say I want to bet Marquise Brown right now to first touchdown score on Thursday night. And I want to put $100 on, no, I can do that. Let's see. I want to put $300 on it.
They won't take it.
Your max wager exceeded limit for this bet is $125. In other words, the max exposure for a first touchdown on my book is $1,000. Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So the guy who's running the account, what they do is they log into the admin panel and they go, what's the max we're going to pay out on this market, the entire market, not just the player, the market.
Exactly. And look, I don't mind the max on that, but it's not an admin thing that these numbers are, but when enough people pop these guys for these first touchdown scores at 25-1, you know, it's somebody like because like if Mike Gesicki was 25-1, I'm betting Mike Gesicki at 25-1. Like I think that's a pretty good bet.
He's got to be what 7-8-1,
11-1.
Oh, he's 11. Okay.
Yeah, but only 11 because he's a 7.5-point dog. You know, if they're playing Houston, he's like 7-1, right?
Right.
So in other words, like last year he's probably 20-1, but it's been hit so many times that now he's 11-1, and they're just like nah, f you, we're not gonna hang these numbers anymore because we're not taking L's on these first touchdowns.
I want to spend the last couple of minutes here with Will Brinson talking about ACC football, your bread and butter, your pride and joy. One day, by the way, you and I are going to sit on a porch, sip whiskey, and listen to Cumberland Gap on repeat. That's going to happen. I don't know when that is.
Sounds great. Let's do it this afternoon.
I wish. Full disclosure, you have the Pittsburgh Panthers at 33-1, yes, to win the ACC?
That is correct. My buddy and I, my buddy Will Newman and I, bet them a few. Let me find it. Bet them a few weeks ago. It was before really the Kenny Pickett hype built up. We're just sort of doing them. We're looking at the math, and I think at that point in time, Clemson was still the favorite, I believe. People were slow to pick up on the fact that Clemson sucks, and Clemson, by the way, could still win the ACC because it's the ACC and who knows what the hell could happen. A lot of weird things have to happen, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. And so there were these numbers and we're looking at the logic was, okay, Carolina doesn't look like they're going to win the Coastal. They look like they suck. North Carolina, that is. And one of these teams like Pitt or somebody has to come out of there and they're not going to have to play Clemson. So it's actually a good bet. So we took Pittsburgh at 33-1. They're now, I think, plus 125 or something like that.
So the book I have pulled up, Pittsburgh plus 15, Wake 350, 7-2, NC State, your boys, 5-1, Clemson 7, Miami 10, Virginia 12. It's hard for you to answer this because you're not going to answer it, you know, the way that most people would because you already have skin in the game.
Just for full disclosure, we bet it on September 28th.
That's a great bet, man. That's a great bet. Thanks. What would you tell people to do right now in this market? Like, for the money, what's the best bet? Take your bet out of it.
I mean, what I want to have happen is NC State and Pittsburgh meet in the finals, and then I've got, like, you know, I don't have to. If State wins, I toss my ticket out the window. Like, I happily like toss my ticket out the window because we won the ACC title. And if State loses, I at least have some financial compensation for my emotional loss. If I am, that's how I'm looking at
what
it.
What a title for this show right there.
Yeah, financial compensation for my emotional loss.
Too long.
It's a little bit long. I mean, honestly, I think that the winner of State and Wake is going to end up winning the Atlantic.
Oh, Wake makes you nervous, though.
Very nervous. The where is it? 2003 NC State begins the season ranked in the top 15, basically. Or I think we're 16th coming in. Phillip Rivers senior year. Slaughters Western Carolina week one. Head to Winston-Salem to play a crappy Wake Forest team week two. Lose 38-24 as the 14th team in the country. Then go to like triple overtime against Ohio State. It was the Wake loss should have never happened. And it's backbreaking. And Winston-Salem for NC State is a house of horrors. So whilst NC State is probably the better team, Dave Clawson's a good coach. The problem is if you take Wake or State right now, you're going to, like, if let's say you take State right now, right, and then Wake wins this weekend, that ticket's a coaster. Mm-hmm. Like, you might as well put a drink on it. It's done. If you take Wake, I think the play would probably be to take Wake, even though they're a little banged up, just because if you're getting, you know, you're getting 4-1 or 3.5-1 versus 5-1, even though I think NC State will win this weekend, I am fully aware that Wake likes to torture us. And if Wake wins, we're basically eliminated. And if State wins, there is still the very real possibility that Wake could get in by virtue of NC State losing to Carolina or losing to Syracuse in the final 2 weeks of the season. So I think Wake is probably the better futures bet there. And if you wanted to, you could take a little stab on Clemson. They would be eliminated. Carolina is interesting. They play tonight, Thursday night at 7:30, I think, against Pittsburgh, in Pittsburgh. If Carolina were to win that game, things get a little bit more up in the air. You can get 59-1 for Chapel Hill to win the ACC right now. And if they lose Thursday night, it's done. But if they win Thursday night, all of a sudden that number probably gets down to like 20-1 or 15-1. So just a thought there. I don't think that happens. I think Pittsburgh takes care of business, but just a thought there. I mean, I think Wake is probably the bet I would make. The only downside is Pittsburgh is going to be favored by whoever they play in the finals. So if you wanted to be able to hedge out, or not hedge out, but like, you know, get some plus money on the other side, you would be more inclined to take Pittsburgh, I think.
Last question. Do you think Brennan Armstrong plays for Virginia?
I have no idea.
So 2 weeks ago, they're playing BYU. He takes a bad hit to the ribs. He looks to the sideline. The cameras catch him saying, "It's broken, it's broken." So the rumor around social media is that Brennan Armstrong has a broken rib. I've been told he's going to play by multiple people. And that spread right now, Notre Dame -5.5. The total 64. You don't hang a 64 if you don't think Brennan Armstrong is going to play.
Yeah, that smells. 64 is huge for that game.
I took +192 on the money line for the Hoos.
5.5 seems like it's 4 points short. I thought you were going to say -9.
Something's up.
Something's up. That's fishy as hell. Well, Virginia's just going to win.
You want to help me take the Irish down?
Sure, let's take down the Irish. Let's go. Yes! I'll take Virginia. Let's go.
All right, that's Will Brinson. We're going to take down the fucking Irish.
I'm always here to take down the Irish. I love taking down the Irish.
When am I going to see you again, by the way?
I don't know. I'm sure I'll go to an airplane one of these days.
Okay.
Let's find a porch. We'll hang out. We'll sip whiskey.
How about a ranch water?
Oh, ranch. I would love a ranch. I might have a ranch water right now.
Oh my God.
I love a good ranch water.
Please follow at Will Brinson at CBS Sports, the Pick Six Pod, one of the greatest covering the NFL. Thanks, Will. Appreciate your time, man.
You're the man, Sam. Thanks, dude.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Will Brinson for hopping on the show. Record check 189, 185, and 7, up 7.2 units. Still can't believe Bryant did not go over 150. 27 threes. Oh, my God. That sucks. Here we go. We got Virginia 5.5, Virginia plus 190, Panthers plus 10.5, Chiefs minus 2.5, a little sprinkle on the AFC, and the Saints plus the 3. We will not have an episode next week. We got some big stuff going on at Nesson, so we will talk to you in a couple weeks. Cash some tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you soon right here on Chicken Dinner.